You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Get down!
It was just that fast. This is April 22nd, 2021. In a matter of 11 seconds, that's what you're listening to, 11 seconds, from the time a Columbus police officer, Nicholas Reardon, responded to a 911 call. When he arrived, there were several teens out in the yard, kind of pushing and shoving, and one of them had a knife. And that had been part of the 911 call. I'll let you hear it in just a moment. But the officer saw the one girl, 16-year-old Makia Bryant. She had the knife in her hand. She wasn't not just dropping it. She was raising it to attack another young girl. But many of the news reports that came out yesterday really ignored what was happening at the moment the officer fired the shot. And, of course, everyone's rushing in. You killed a girl. You killed a girl, a little girl. Do you think the officer went there with the intent to kill anyone? Anyone. And when he saw that situation going down, he's got his pistol out already. She's got the knife in her hand, and she's now raising it to hit another girl. And Ari apparently either tried to stab another, or maybe had inflicted one wound. There's been some confusion still over that. But when the 911 call came through, the police, of course, doing their duty, responding. Listen.
Tonight, the city of Columbus releasing two 911 calls that prompted their response Tuesday afternoon.
We got
grown girls over here trying to fight us, trying to stab us, trying to put our hands on our grandma. Get here now.
Get here now. Somebody's trying to stab us. Now, police did not identify who was actually making the call. Some are insisting it was the young girl who was shot, that she was calling for help, and then she got a knife to protect herself against others. There was a second 911 call, and apparently, according to police, it was a quick hang-up because they arrived at that moment when that call was underway. There are a lot of details to sort through, and it's the details, of course, have become critical, not the mass brush state-controlled media rushes forward, and many rushing forward on a judgment. We got a white officer, we got a black kid, and it has to be the officer's fault. If he hadn't fired the shot, there was no doubt looking at the video, and I'll put it up later today on Larry Connors USA Facebook as it came direct from the police department, so you don't have to go through any filtration of any state-controlled media. If he had not fired the shot, the 16-year-old he did shoot had raised it. She was attacking another girl within easy reach of her arm. Now, if she had been the one to make the call and then she came out and she's trying to put a stop and he pulls up while she's trying to break things up and get the score even or what, who knows? We don't have all that yet. But at that moment, she either didn't hear or refused to respond. Now, we talked about this before, this auditory blockage sometimes in these things, even for trained police officers. Say if I come up on an incident, I see things underway, and I'm going to save someone. They're going to try to kill someone else. I pull out my pistol. The officer comes on the scene. He sees me with a pistol, and he's hollering, drop it, drop it. If I don't drop it right away, I might be in the same situation as this young girl is. But it's still a tragedy. There's no way around it. We're going to have a lot of details on that coming up. And, of course, it happened the same day Derek Chauvin was convicted on all counts. White House Jen Psaki speaking out for Biden, calling it a tragedy. I agree. NBA superstar LeBron James went to Twitter with a message some say is a threat to kill police officers. We'll break that down for you. In fact, we've got a lot to do with this story. So much we're going to have to spread it over 2 hours and take bits and pieces of it. It's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's what we're going to have to do. We also had Democrats rushing to make D.C. a state. The House already voting forward to do so. The Senate probably won't happen, but they're trying. John Kerry, Biden's climate energy czar, says even if U.S. and China went to zero emissions, if we and China went to zero emissions today, it wouldn't be enough to save our planet. Well, then what the hell are we worried about? We'll get into that. And more concerned about COVID. There are reports of some fake vaccines going around. Who's getting them? What's being done to pull them off and make sure the proper vaccines are given? And then, of course, should we start vaccinating children at what age? And for that matter, what about children wearing masks? Should children really be wearing masks on a continuous basis? We've got a lot to cover, as I said. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels. Oh, number seven. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And I'm...
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Police were responding to a call about a stabbing. Police released this body cam footage that shows the first officer on the scene. In the slowed down version of the video, you can see the teen appears to attempt to stab two people with a knife, including another girl in pink. That is when the officer fired the weapon.
That is, again, a report from a Columbus, Ohio local TV station, ABC, on the shooting that took place yesterday in Columbus, Ohio. As officers responded to a 911 call, which you heard a moment ago, saying someone's trying to stab us, get here now. And the first officer on the scene had been on the force since December of 2019. I haven't seen additional details on if he had been with other departments prior to that time, but he had been on duty at least for 2 years. Or let's say at least a year and a half or better. But he arrives there and he sees exactly how you heard the reporter describe the video. And the video clearly shows. I mean, when I'm listening to the news reports yesterday before I saw the video, I thought, well, there seems to be some confusion. Does the girl have the knife in her hand or is it on the ground? Now, we had a case the other day, of course, where an officer shot a young man and the officer said he had a gun and he dropped it just as I fired the shot. The video doesn't, unless you edit it and watch it all the way through, I should say, you'll see the pistol just briefly, but it was in an instant. He still had it. The officer fired. In this case, this 16-year-old still has the weapon in her hand, and she has now raised it as if she's going to strike the person next to her who's between her and the vehicle, so the person cannot get away. Now, obviously, when you hear a report of any teenager shot by police. You want to know more details. And of course, if there's a race component, it's going to be brought in, whether or not it has any bearing on it. And that's acceptable if you want to judge it strictly on that. But let's try to stay with the facts itself. That first call came in at 4:32. Now, remember, yesterday also we had the guilty verdict on Derek Chauvin, guilty on all charges. I mean, we were still processing all of that. So when this shooting went down, I said yesterday, I'm talking about Tuesday, when this shooting went down, of course, there was still confusion for many as to, well, what happened? Did she have a knife in her hand or not? So let me make sure you understand, because I misstated, I might have lost you the process. When I said the Derek Chauvin case verdict came down, that was Tuesday afternoon. This happened also Tuesday afternoon, and it was unfolding yesterday, but there still were too many questions. We weren't really getting all the story together until best I can gather today, and there's going to be more developments. Footage from the body camera on the officer shows as soon as he pulls up, this 16-year-old, later identified as 16-year-old Makia Bryant, one of the stories says with an apparent knife in her. There's no apparent knife. It's a knife. My God, you can see it's a knife. Not a letter opener. It's not a balloon. It's a knife. She's already forced one female to the ground. She turns and charges another female, still holding the knife, and the officer fires four shots. Well, of course, the White House has pulled in quickly to get some response from the president, and here's Jen Psaki with a response from the White House.
The killing of 16-year-old Makayla Bryant by the Columbus police is tragic. She was a child. We know that police violence disproportionately impacts Black and Latino people in communities, and that Black women and girls, like Black men and boys, experience higher rates of police violence. Our focus is on working to address systemic racism and implicit bias head-on, and of course to passing laws and legislation that will put much-needed reforms into place at police departments around the country.
Blah, 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 blah. They go right into, they got a narrative, they move right to it. Yes, it's a tragedy. But just because it's a teenage girl does not mean she could not be guilty of something. She may have had a perfect life and been in no trouble whatsoever until that moment. And if it went down, like I said a moment ago, if she were the one who actually made the call and then she goes a knife and goes out and tries to stop others from attacking friends, that part we still don't know. But when police arrive, she's got the knife in her hand. And, of course, the story is the police officer shot and killed a Black girl. It also doesn't say the police officer saved the life of another Black girl. Is he supposed to wait for her to strike the girl once or more with a knife? Is that what should have happened? This kind of reporting and approach reminds me, you have a plane crash. You have a jetliner crash, and you have 100 on board. 99 are killed. Now, obviously, that's a big story. But there's another story in there. One person survived the crash that 99 didn't. This young girl that was being attacked in the video, her life was saved because of what the officer did. But, of course, we are going to question. We want to know answers, and that's routine. Officers know that. They know if they're going to fire the pistol, they're going to be under investigation, they're going to have to face some questions. And yet some of them are still on the duty and, you know, trying to do their best they can and hope they don't get in a situation that escalates, one, to violence like that, and secondly, that they make a right decision, and we don't have a bunch of cameras that record something that's not true, but it gets edited and gives a false impression. So the police chief, trying to be as open and transparent as he is, meets with the news reporters. He's already given them some information. He begins to then describe the tape. But again, after they watch all this, the chief has to answer questions.
To what degree should an officer opt to use a taser rather than his service weapon?
I cannot respond specifically to this specific incident, but what I can say is when officers are faced with someone employing deadly force can be the response the officer gives. If there's not deadly force being perpetrated on someone else at that time, an officer may have the opportunity to have cover, distance, and time to use a taser. But if those things aren't present and there is an active assault going on in which someone could lose their life, the officer can use their firearm to protect that third person.
Now, before we try to vilify police in this case, remember again why he was shooting and what was happening at that moment. 16-year-old Makia Bryant had the knife in her hand. It is a knife, friends. Do not believe any story that says, well, it might not have been. It was a knife. I'm going to let you hear from Joy Reid later with one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard that woman make. And it's so ridiculous, it's obscene. But you'll hear that a little bit later. But she's got the knife in her hand, and is anyone going to say, thank God he said? What if it's your daughter? If your daughter's the one about to be stabbed, I don't care what your color is, your family, your religion, or anything else, but if it's your daughter there and the officer is telling the attacker to stop, do you want him to go ahead and let her attack your child with a knife and then maybe go to the taser and maybe they'll stop her after she's hit two or three times, or maybe it won't stop her? You have to understand, tasers don't always work, because if they don't hit and embed properly, there are cases where they don't. Generally, they're very effective. They were designed to prevent this kind of lethal violence. If you have an option, use that. If the girl had a bat, that would have been the best time for the officer to use a taser. But again, I'm not going to second guess that. But a knife, she got a good chance she hits a juggler or some main artery, the girl will bleed out before they can get anything to her to help her. Paramedics did arrive, by the way, within 6 minutes, starting to work on Makia, trying to make sure she keep her alive. But you got the mainstream media. Let me correct that again. It is state-controlled media, and they rushed to judgment so damn fast. Just listen to this example.
Makia Bryant, a 16-year-old girl in Columbus, Ohio, called the police for help. An officer was on the scene, and in 22 seconds, he shot her dead.
What if it were a member of your family, your neighbor, in essentially a teenage fight, a schoolyard fight?
So many other black people will face similar fates. The police will not exercise discretion, will not use a reduced sense of engagement to preserve black life.
And again, that's a rush to judgment. They're doing it without all the facts, I assume. But we do know this for fact. Media Research Center called out NBC News because how they edited a part of that 911 call, which you heard earlier. It's a voice, a female voice, saying, it's these grown girls over here trying to fight us, trying to stab us. Get here now. The clip that they aired was a woman shouts, we need a police officer here now. Didn't say anything about someone trying to stab us. So NBC just didn't state that. And when they showed the footage, the body cam footage, they never show the knife in the attacker's hand just before the shots. They show it on the ground. And you got Lester Holt of NBC. And, of course, I can't hold him directly responsible for the story, how it got presented to him, what he knew about it or didn't. But the bottom of the screen reading is he's reading the story, police fatally shoot 16-year-old black girl holding knife. Now, they do say that, but the still image from the body cam footage shows the knife now on the ground. CBS Evening News, ABC World News did air the portion of the 911 call calling a stabbing reference. Both zoomed in on footage showing the girl was holding the knife during the altercation. NBC, of course, just didn't do it. Does that go back to what Lester Holt had said recently on receiving an award? Well, we don't always have to give both sides. I don't know. But again, the issue about did the officer have to use the pistol? Could he have used a taser? Here is the response of the NAACP president.
But, you know, we have a situation in Minnesota where a police officer claimed to be reaching for a taser and pulled the gun. And now we have a situation in Ohio where a taser should have been used and yet a gun was used. We have to create a new standard of trust and safety when it comes to law enforcement. And that can only happen if we have a federal policy floor that will give all of us a sense of security that when officers have been called out to these incidents, they have the proper training, they understand how to de-escalate, and the proper weapons are used that's consistent with the threat or apparent threat that's there. Now, until the investigation is completed and other footage come out, we really don't know what happened.
We don't know what happened. That one's part of the statement that should stand out. We really don't know what happened. But he goes on and on. Well, we had a situation in Minnesota. An officer claimed to be reaching for a taser, pulled a gun. Now the situation in Ohio where a taser should have been used. He said should have been. He was not there. And you mean should have. How do you know it should have been used? I would tell him, Derek Johnson, NAACP president. So if it's your child between the attacker that has a knife in her hand and your child is between her and a vehicle, and she's not going to escape as that knife is raised, and the next motion is going to be bring it down on your child somewhere, the chest, the face, who knows what. What do you want the officer to do? He only pulled the pistol out, if you see the video, when he sees the actual knife. It's just a bunch of girls scuffling around and one on the ground. But when he sees a knife, yeah, he pulls the pistol. He does not pull the taser. He doesn't know what he's going to encounter next. If he'll just obey the command, drop the knife and stop it, but whether she heard it or not, we will never know, will we? But the girl that's being attacked clearly said, yeah, she was already attacking others and coming after me. And then you got Joy Reid in her remarks and LeBron making a statement which sounds almost like he wants a cop killed. Stand by, please.
Sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My assumption is that this officer is going to be clear, right? I mean, this is the way, this is going to go down the way most of these shooting cases go down because police have tremendous latitude to use deadly force. Fine. But the problem is, at this point, everything police say to me is just a claim that needs to be proven. Even if there's, I mean, unless there's full accounting, they won't tell us who made the 911 call. Neighbors say that the little girl, that Micaiah, made the 911 call. They aren't telling us that. They aren't being fully transparent here. That's why it's very difficult to trust what they're saying.
So we can trust Joy Reid and MSNBC and all the state-controlled media, right? We can trust them fully. She said, we can't really trust police. We don't know what they're going to really tell us. And yet, I just cited for you examples of, like, where NBC, the editing of that particular video from Columbus, Ohio, they didn't show the knife in Makia Bryant's hand. Not once. They showed it on the ground. And when they took the 911 call, they didn't talk about or include the part where whoever is calling is saying somebody's trying to attack us with a knife. They didn't put that in. Just said, send the police. You put yourself in the position of a police officer. You roll up on, you heard a 911 call, you're dispatched to it. You didn't hear it, but you're told about it. And they've said, the dispatcher said a knife is involved or weapons or whatever they describe the officer. You pull up and you see this group of girls shoving, pushing, and you can't, you know, maybe it's just a teenage girls going at each other over a boy. Who knows? But the moment you see the knife, things escalate rapidly. And again, if it's your daughter that's the victim of that knife as it comes down, what do you want the officer to do? Oh, and Joy Reid. Joy Reid says, I don't know why they had to do that. And she says, I've seen knife fights. And keep in mind, this was not a fight. It was an attack because there's only one knife in hand from what we saw at that video. No one else had a knife. But Joy Reid says, well, that can be diffused without using a gun. I've seen teachers do it. Listen to this nonsense.
I remember fights in even high school or even younger than that, where a kid brought a penknife or something to school and teachers were able to defuse that, and they didn't have guns.
No, they don't have guns. The teachers were able to defuse a penknife. You know what a penknife is? Usually one blade, and when you open it up, it's about maybe the length of a magic marker. Maybe that long. I had a kid when I was in grade school pull a penknife on me, and we fought and tussled, and I had it away just at the time the teacher arrived. And I had explained it wasn't mine, and then my parents get involved, and obviously everyone was agreeing. The other kid said, no, it's the other kid. He pulled it. But that's a penknife. If it had a real blade, I mean, you remember the Crocodile Dundee show? The Crocodile Dundee movie? And a guy pulls a knife on him to rob him, and Dundee's looking at it. It's about a 6-7 inch blade. Dundee reaches in and pulls out a big knife he has from the outback and said, oh, that's not a knife. This is a knife. Yeah, that'd be a big difference, wouldn't it? And then in the midst of all of this, jumping into the fray, again without all the information, LeBron James took to Twitter. He put up a pic of a police officer present at that shooting with a caption that read, you're next. You're next. James said he tried to delete the tweet, but it still remained up for a long time. Where was Twitter? Why didn't Twitter react? But there was a reaction from a retired police officer in Arizona. His remarks.
LeBron James is living on a high horse. He's in a multi-million-dollar house living around nothing but white people. He is not affected by none of this violence. He could care less. And at the drop of a dime, he'll have white officers at his house doing investigations on false claims if there is some. So LeBron James and these wealthy people like the BLM co-founder living in million-dollar houses, they don't care. They just want to push a virtue signal because they have nothing better to do. They're not educated enough to look at things from both sides. And they continue to want to push a narrative that's just not true. And I really wish they would be held accountable and at least ashamed of what they're doing to our country.
Wow. Not likely they're going to be ashamed. He was on the Laura Ingraham show again. That's a retired police officer from Arizona, Brandon Tatum. The National Fraternal Order of Police, the largest organization of sworn law officers, also slammed LeBron James for that. And again, the question is, Twitter, I thought you took those things off. You didn't shut it down with that kind of thing? And we got a Coming to America actress that was Coming to America number 2, supermarket sweep, Leslie Jones, reacting to the Derek Chauvin thing in a video saying, now let's go get the rest of the MFers. That does not bring unity. Coming up, fake COVID vaccine. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler, Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rodler Pest Solutions immediately. Rodler, family owned and operated for 3 generations. If you've never used Rodler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rodler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rodler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, Rodler Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So word is coming out of bogus COVID-19 vaccinations, or vaccines, I should say. In some cases, they're selling for $1,000 a shot. Some are using an anti-wrinkle substance as an ingredient, making you think, well, you're buying the vaccine, we're getting it to you right away. We have definitely, according to Pfizer, Pfizer has identified counterfeit versions of its COVID-19 vaccine in Mexico and Poland. And they're saying we are cognizant that in this type of environment, fueled by the ease and convenience of e-commerce and anonymity afforded by the Internet, there will be an increase in the prevalence of fraud, counterfeit, other illicit activity as it relates to vaccines and treatments for COVID-19. In Mexico, they apparently documented 80 folks who paid $1,000 apiece for a fake Pfizer dose. None of them apparently had any physical harm from it, but they got nothing more than distilled water, but they thought they had protection. And, of course, the question is, how good is it anyway, or even the ones that are legitimate? I mean, we still don't know. We don't know the long-term effects, which has been a reason why many are saying, I'm just not sure yet. And when it comes to kids, now they're saying, okay, we can go ahead and lower the age for some kids. Well, let's look at that for a moment. Because within that story, there's something else. I get my good morning slap in the face from the New York Times, as I tell you from time to time. I sign up for it. I just want to start my day with a good slap in the face, so I read this thing for the New York Times. And David Lindehart writes it, and it begins, "Good morning, Larry." No, he never puts my name in, but I like to have my name. It feels personal to me. It comes to my email, Larry Connors, USA. You can send me one, too, by the way. I'd always appreciate emails. Money can also be not. I'm joking. Don't be sending me any money. I was, years ago, I'm at a TV station, and I get an envelope, and I open it. It's filled with some rambling of some person. I know I've gone off in a rabbit hole. Bear with me. I know where I'm going, I think. So I open it. It's just filled with all these ramblings. Now, you know, there's no way to respond. There's no. So I just toss it in the can. Another week, I get two of them. The same thing open up. And then I begin to get more. I don't even bother opening them. I just put them off to the side. Don't even open them. And eventually, after about a month, I've got several. I just throw them all in the trash can. Then they start again. After about a month, they start again. And I open this one. There's a $20 bill inside. Now, what is going on here? Did somebody send me money and I threw it away? Now they think I'm taking their money? Over the next few days, I got two more, and they were filled with $3 to $5 bills, $3 to $5 in them. And I'm thinking, how much money did I throw away that they think I kept and took? So I took it to the news director, and we had to get the Postal Service involved to track it down. So my point being, don't be sending me any money. I appreciate it, but don't do that. I'll take your emails. So David Lindehart, all right, Larry, we're back on track. New York Times, The Morning Report. Good morning, Larry. We're looking at two COVID questions you might have heading into the summer. Should you be wearing a mask outdoors? How should you reorient your family's life once adults have been vaccinated, but the children haven't? He said these are two questions on people's minds, and we published two stories to address them. He said the common theme is it's okay to start making changes to your behavior, loosening up in careful ways, or at least begin thinking about it. Now, what about wearing a mask outdoor? They quote a source that they're using on one of their stories that there are few, if any, documented cases of brief outdoor interactions leading to COVID transmission. You're walking on a park pathway and somebody's coming to you. They don't have a mask on. You don't have a mask on. I might step off a little bit, give them some room. But he points out, according to one of the doctors, they quote, viral particles quickly disperse in outdoor air. The risk of inhaling aerosolized virus from a jogger or passerbys are negligent. You won't have to worry about getting anything from me, reference me jogging past you. I'm not going to be jogging. I'll walk past, but I'm not going to be jogging. And then a question also, what activities can unvaccinated children start resuming? And he says, well, the answer to that may be a little thornier. And they also point out that COVID, still a new disease, uncertain long-term effects, which argues for caution. And then adds, on the other hand, risk to children appear to be extremely low. And for most children, COVID presents no more risk than a normal flu season. So we've kept all these kids out of these schools, and they're still pretty much out of school. I think Chicago finally got back in school this week. And they're saying, yeah, it's not very likely you're going to affect kids. And, of course, you got Dr. Fauci saying, well, you may have to continue wearing masks for a long time, and maybe you need two masks. Now we're seeing that maybe, are the masks even going to be good? And there's another issue reference to mask. I'll come to that in a moment. This New York Times writer said, I quote a couple of COVID experts who say they will not keep their own children cooped up until they're vaccinated. He said some might. He said, look at their child's overall health. Let them travel in a car. Let them go swimming. You're probably exposing them to more risk than COVID presents to them if they're in the car or swimming. And he said, I understand why people will continue to exercise more caution than data suggests is necessary. COVID has been horrible, arguably worse than any other infectious disease in living memory. And it's not over. A Yale epidemiologist said, we've all been traumatized by this. I think we need to have a little bit of compassion for those who had trouble letting go. In other words, for those who just are a little afraid to take that next step. They're probably wearing two masks. And they're probably going to stay locked away from anyone. You're not going to see them. You don't, quite honestly, the way we communicate, some don't even bother communicating on the internet or phone. They just disappear. You don't know if they died or not unless you can reach out and find them. So, again, I never knock anyone taking the precautions they think is necessary for them and their family, and especially when it comes to your children. You do what you think is best for them. But again, this latest study that they were citing in the New York Times, wearing a mask outside, yeah, not really going to be worth anything. And about kids, even if they're unvaccinated, you probably could go ahead and do it. For now, no children under 16 are eligible. So you have a child 16 plus vaccinated, and everybody else in the family's vaccinated, but the younger kids aren't. They go back to school, they're meeting kids, and suddenly the fear comes up again, and that's understandable. But when it comes to wearing a mask all the time, Epoch Times is quoting a doctor that advises Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Now, he's a professor of medicine at Stanford University, this doctor. He is a health economist by training. So he actually looks at it in a little bit different way. He said, I think about things from a cost-benefit point of view. You have to think about what the cost and benefits are of any policy to set before you make a recommendation. And he said, in the case of mask, the evidence that children spread the disease even without a mask is that they are much less efficient spreaders. It's not like the flu where children actually are efficient spreaders of the disease. And he said, in the case of coronavirus, for reasons we don't fully understand, children, even unmasked, are less likely, much less likely to spread the disease to adults than an adult is to spread the disease to an adult. Actually, he goes on points about studies that found young children transmit the virus less than older children and adults by various studies. And he said, then you have the problem with the kids having masks. First of all, he said, many kids aren't going to wear them properly anyway, so are they going to benefit at all? He said, they're often touching them, repeatedly taking them on and off, licking them, irritating, difficulty breathing. Yeah, I've seen all of that. I saw about four or five young boys the other day on bicycles. You know, they were just having a good day, a beautiful day. They were out on their bicycles, floating around. None of them had a mask on. I saw them a little bit later, and one of them had a mask on. So I don't know what happened. Did Mama see him and say, you better put your mask on? Who knows? But this doctor also says children have developmental needs that require them to see other people's faces. Learning to speak, for instance, requires seeing lips move. Said for slightly older children, they need to see people, the body. They learn body language. How do we interact socially? By watching people. He said, you ask them to wear a mask, you cut out all of that. You have harms on one side, very little benefit on the other. And how many people you run into lately somewhere and they call you by name and you think you recognize the voice, but you're looking, I can't tell who you are with a mask. Who the hell are you? And, of course, banks are now slowly opening. And you know, as you walk into some of these banks, they have a big sign up. No sunglasses, no hats, no mask. Well, we all walk in looking like we're going to rob the place, don't we? And, by the way, speaking of Governor DeSantis, I never had a chance to really spend some time on this story, which broke about April 8th. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, Republican, had a former White House coronavirus task members and a medical scholar, Dr. Scott Atlas, and three co-authors of a Great Barrington Declaration talking about society and the COVID-19. It's a COVID-19 roundtable. Also had a Harvard professor of medicine, one from Stanford, Stanford, I should say. YouTube just suddenly deleted the entire video. Just took it off, putting up a message, this video has been removed for violating YouTube's community guidelines. YouTube never did respond to any request as to comment what guidelines. But they put up there, this policy has run afoul of the basic needs of public health messaging, science, and sound policy decision making. YouTube is now going to be your doctor. Is that what you want? That's where we are. You think we don't need to get control of them and other big corps? Yes, we do. When we come back, climate czar John Kerry says, well, if you listen to him, I guess we're all doomed. It could happen overnight. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're the one nation that has a lot of deniers, and a lot of money has been spent in our country to create that doubt and the possibility of denial. We need to get on track based on science, based on facts, based on truth.
Based on science, based on fact, based on truth. If they're talking about climate, believe the science. I'm going to bring it up every single time they try this kind of crap. Every time I hear them say, believe the science, I'm going to say, you tell me, where's the science if you detect the heartbeat in the womb? Is that a live baby or is that just a piece of junk in your mind? Tell me about that piece of science. They want to discuss that, but they're going to tell you what to believe, and they're going to give you nothing but the facts and the science. There was U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for Climate John Kerry talking to the Washington Post live about we've got to have this summit because President Biden is calling this thing and it's underway. He's calling it together. I saw some comments coming down earlier from Biden about this, that the whole thing is to have this climate summit and get everyone involved. And we need to reduce our carbon footprint and all that other stuff. And of course, in addition, John Kerry, you got a lot of big ticket Democrats who they sign on to climate. Michael Bloomberg. Kerry and Michael Bloomberg celebrating Earth Day. That's today. Did you miss that? Yeah. Well, it's still underway. You go out and celebrate Earth Day. But they fly on their private jets all the time while telling you what to do. Passenger jets have been estimated to emit up to 40 times as much carbon per passenger as commercial flights. Do you remember in 2019 when the climate czar Kerry flew his plane to Iceland to receive a climate leadership award? Is that not stupid? Yep, it is. But now you've got him saying, we got to do this. We got to get things under control. We got to deal with it right now. But then he drops this little nugget. And when you hear this, you're thinking, what?
The United States could go to zero tomorrow. I mean, we can't, but if you figuratively speaking could go to zero, we'd still have a problem. The world would still have a problem. If China went to zero tomorrow with the United States, we'd still have a problem. So every country has to come to the table. This is the single biggest multilateral global negotiation that the world has ever needed, and the stakes could not be higher.
And you got to believe us, because we're going to preach the science and the facts and the truth. And yet you just told us, if the U.S. and China go to zero tomorrow, we are still in grave danger. That's because he's claiming some 20 nations, that would include U.S. and China, have produced 81% of the emissions on the planet. So all these need to be involved, but many of them, you got India, Pakistan, I don't know who else they've got in there, but they all have high emissions, so yeah. Even if we do it, no one else is going to do it, and China really isn't going to do it. Give me a break. You really think they're going to follow your climate czar from John Kerry? I doubt it. If you want more truth and facts and science? Socialist Cerny, and I call him socialist, you should too, Senator Bernie Sanders, independent of Vermont, He's proposing legislation called College for All Act. The idea is to provide tuition-free college. Tuition-free college. Everybody's been talking about it, but he wants to do it now. And he's got this bill he's going to produce. And in fact, it will supposedly render community colleges and trade schools tuition-free for students from families earning less than $125,000 a year. But there's more. It would also include trade schools, community colleges, free for all students. And then it goes on that it's going to be expensive. They recognize it is. But the Brookings Institute, a left-leaning think tank, says Sanders' free university scheme would actually benefit families like Bernie Sanders, those who are a millionaire. And, of course, he's a capitalist, although he is a socialist, but he likes capitalism. And he says, you can be a millionaire, too. You just write a best-selling book. But Brookings, this left-leaning institute think tank, says who would benefit most from free college? Students from higher-income families who would receive a disproportionate share of the benefits of free college, largely because they attend more expensive institutions. And, of course, we're supposed to believe that that's going to be a great idea. Well, when you talk about you roll in there, you're going to give all the money back to all of us who have paid tuition for our kids or ourselves, okay, I might consider it. No, they're talking about only going forward. And you watch, they'll turn it up and saying it's only going to be for illegals. You know what's going on right now with Biden pushing his capital gains tax plan? Today, for instance, stocks tumbling. Is Biden pushing his capital gains tax plan, remember? And Biden pledging to reduce U.S. greenhouse gas emissions today because John Kerry says we got to do something. He wants to reduce them by up to 52% from 2005 levels by the end of this decade. He's putting a lot of pressure on these businesses. And then, of course, the capital gains tax going to hit them again with that. These guys are going to destroy this nation. They're already going to bankrupt us anyway. But then on top of that, you're going to be left with a car that doesn't really look good. No engine, no wheels. But you got a car. It just it may not be that good for you. Well, we'll take a break in the second hour. More on the shooting in Columbus, Ohio. And more of the celebrities weighing in that if we had to kill a teenager, we've got something wrong in this nation. And I'm going to give you another case where now a teenager is charged with killing a child because no one's there to stop her. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.